In Luke chapter 8, there's a passage, a very short passage, that I want to read to you this morning from verse 22 through verse 25. As I mentioned, the worship, the songs in the worship list start with a song about freedom that comes in Christ, and then they go from there into three songs that speak of surrender, that speak of standing before God with our arms raised and our hearts abandoned before Him, that speak of seeking God as a precious jewel. And then the final song before you depart this morning is going to be a song that says, "Welcome, Holy Spirit. You're the living water. You're the never-drying fountain." And it's a song about welcoming the Holy Spirit into every aspect of our lives. And I so yearn to see the power of God manifested through His people. And I am astonished when I hear of a heart that is turned from darkness to light because a Christian shared the gospel with that individual. I am astonished and overwhelmed with emotion when I see depicted or when I hear a story told of somebody who surrendered their heart to Christ, turned themselves over and said, "I no longer want to pursue my own selfishness and be a child of Satan, but I want to follow God and be adopted into His family." It's the most beautiful thing. The rebirth. There's nothing in our human experience, I think, other than encounter with God ourselves, there's nothing more powerful and profound than somebody else's encounter, observing somebody encounter Christ for the first time and come to faith. It's so beautiful. It's why I'm a pastor. I wish I saw it more regularly, but I have devoted my life to sharing the gospel so that I can encourage others to step into their God-given role, each of you into your God-given role of leading others to Christ. And it's a profound mystery because we cannot save anybody, and yet we carry salvation. And we carry salvation through our lives. Our lives empowered by the presence of the ungrieved Holy Spirit. And so my heart is that you guys, all of you here and those of you listening online, would recognize that God wants to use you because He absolutely loves you. And He wants to use you because He loves those neighbors that you live next to and those people that you work with. Even though right now you can't imagine that God would even love them, because some of them are just so wicked. Some of them have disappointed you and made you so mad. God loves those people and He wants to reach them and He wants to use you. And the challenge that we have is being unselfish and beginning to live our lives in such a way that we have that intention, the intention to reach other people. That's a challenge. And it doesn't come without some storms. Jesus and His disciples were ministering the gospel, and Jesus had been preaching. And it was necessary to get into a vehicle and get from one side of a lake to the other, to get into this boat, so he could go preach the gospel on the other side. These guys were all obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they were with Jesus. And then this happened. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" It's a short little story, and the story appears in three Gospels, here in Luke, but also in Matthew chapter 8, and then again in Mark chapter 4. John doesn't tell the story in his Gospel, but But the other three Gospels tell the story, and they tell it pretty much the same way. And of course, the story has some parallels in the Old Testament, and another one in the New Testament as well that are worth mentioning. The first one, of course, is the story of Jonah. You're familiar with Jonah, who went down to Joppa to get away from the will of the Lord, got into a boat headed for Tarshish, and a storm arose because God sent the storm, and the waves grew high, and the boat was going to sink, and the sailors all cried out, and Jonah said, "It's my fault because I'm running away from God, and throw me into the waves, and God will calm the storm for you." And so they took Jonah and tossed him in the waves, and the storm was immediately calm. Jonah, of course, was swallowed up by the waves and was sinking down and was going to drown. But God had prepared a salvation for him, and a big fish came along. And you remember the story. The fish swallows him up and protects him from the storm outside, but not from the storm inside. And Jonah has to face the storm of God's word. And God's word comes to him in the midst of that fish and says, "What are you doing? Where are you? Why are you here?" And Jonah has to admit that he is running away from God. And that story is a profound story. Of course, you can read the rest of it. It's got lots of lessons in it. But the lesson that we have there is that you can get yourself into some stormy waters because you're running away from God. But God will calm the storm. However, it will not be without some pretty scary moments. And you will have to wrestle with God to find out what's going on. And you will have to come to a place of surrender where you recognize that you can't run away from God or from His everlasting love. And in that place of surrender, the storm turns out to be for your advantage. In this particular passage, Jesus and his disciples are doing the right thing. They're not running away from God. They're running right into God. They're doing exactly what God has instructed them to do. And the storm arises in spite of the fact that they're being obedient. The good news is Jesus calms the storm here too. Nobody has to be tossed into the chaos. Nobody has to come face to face with their failure to obey God, but they are questioned by Jesus, and he says, "Where is your faith?" And so I learned from both of those stories, parallel stories side by side, that Jesus is better than Jonah. I also learned that Jesus is a better salvation than some big fish, which is going to vomit Jonah out later. I recognize that if Jesus is in the boat, even if he's asleep, I'm actually okay. I learned some of wonderful things from this. Jonah slept in the boat and he wasn't okay. Jesus asleep in the boat, everybody's okay. Powerful parallels there, but I recognize from this that the storm is common in both situations. And so whether we are obedient to God or disobedient to God, storms come. And our preparation must be the love of God. We've got to surrender to the love of God, and we must walk in the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, whatever storm it is that you're going through right now, God can silence your storm. You hear me? God can silence your storm. You got to call upon Him. And if you're in a storm and you're asking, "God, I'm doing everything right, everything that you told me to do. I'm exactly where you want me to be, and yet this storm is right here in my face, and I'm going to die. Why are you asleep? Why are you not with me?" God is with you, and the question to you is, where's your faith? And that's not so much a question of the failure of your faith. It's a question of where is your faith? In what have you placed your faith? And I think the answer ought to be, we place our faith in Jesus, not in the boat and not in our skills, not even in our obedience, but in Jesus. The third storm illustration that we have is the Apostle Paul, who's in a storm in Acts chapter 27. And he's in a storm not of his own making. He's in a storm because of obedience to God, but he doesn't have freedom to be in that storm. It wasn't his choice to be in that boat. he's a prisoner, and the people that he's with, he tries to warn them. The soldiers that are taking him to Rome, he tries to warn them, saying, listen, it's late in the season, nor'easter's come, it's a bad time to be sailing in the Mediterranean, and we really should winter it out and then go. But the sailors and the soldiers disagree with him, and they say, you're a prisoner, you know nothing, we're going to take you. And they set off on their journey, and sure enough, they run headlong into a storm. Sometimes we're in a storm because of somebody else. But I want you to know that God is able to save you even through that storm. That storm God did not still. That storm broke up the boat. That storm had everybody awash for a day and a night in the great deep. But God promised the Apostle Paul that not one of those souls would be lost. And sometimes we're in a storm that's not controllable by us. You know what? COVID is a storm and we can't control. It didn't come because we were disobedient to God. It didn't come because of our personal sin or we're running away from God. We're not in this predicament in church wearing masks and all this kind of stuff and having discomfort because we did something wrong. No, we're in the storm because there's a storm. Maybe the world around us disobeyed God for 6,000 years since the first days of creation. Who knows? Maybe God has finally said, enough is enough. I don't know. I'm not here to conjecture for that kind of conjecture, but I am here to tell you that we can intercede on behalf of the people around us so not one soul has to be lost. If we intercede before God for the lives of the people that are our neighbors, our colleagues, our co-workers, perhaps God will also say to us, I hear you. And for your sake, they will be saved. Storms come to all, some of our own making, some because the devil hates us, and some simply because the wrath of God is here. But in all of these things, we can be saved, and we will be saved. Let us trust in the Lord. And I invite you today, with this simple little devotion from Luke 8, I invite you to consider your heart and your preparation. As you prepare your heart for whatever storms may come, or you solidify your heart right now through the storm that you're in the middle of, let the same heart be in you that was in our Lord Jesus. Still the fear of your neighbors. Call upon the Lord. Let the Lord calm the storm. Turn to your neighbors and say, fear not. Share the love of Christ. And watch and see if the Lord doesn't give us these souls. Father, these simple devotions, take them, Lord. Plant the seed of your word in our hearts. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a parable of the sower and the seed. And the sower sows the seed, and some falls, and the birds eat it up. And some falls on rocky ground, and it can't take root. And some of it takes root, but is choked out by the weeds. And then some falls on fertile soil and grows and produces fruit. Lord, I pray that Satan would not easily steal the word from us. I also pray that we would be able to put down roots, that persecution or hardship would not prevent us from digging down and having roots that draw from the deep wells of life. I pray that we will not be shallow in our faith. I pray also that the deceitfulness of riches and pleasure of life would not choke out our love for you, that we would not become so caught up in our own success or yearning for it, our own desires for love, that we would forget and so not bear good fruit for you. No, Lord, may our hearts be fertile soil. You have loved us with an everlasting love, and we celebrate this love, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.